This morning, I'm going to speak on the subject, finding strength when you are overwhelmed. Finding strength when you are overwhelmed. I want everybody here, everybody, to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And let me preference this. This is an extremely long reading that we're going to engage in. And my concern has been all week that some of you are going to tune me out even before we get through reading the passage. So I don't want you to do that. It's a long reading. Bless God, but we're reading the Bible. So I want you to stay with me because everything we read in this passage is going to relate to the sermon. Finding strength when you're overwhelmed. What did Jesus do when he was overwhelmed? Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 10. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Follow along wherever you are. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10. He sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the town. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowd away to go into the village to buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then Jesus ordered the crowd to sit on the grass. And taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And when they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time had gone a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the 4th watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Verse 28. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Verse 34. And when he had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all the regions and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that he might not only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And Jesus answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions?" It is a fact. It is a fact that if anybody ever had a reason to be overwhelmed by life, it is Jesus here in this passage. I want us to begin by taking a look at exactly what Jesus is dealing with in this passage. First of all, he is dealing with the death of someone whom he greatly loved, John the Baptizer. Let me remind you that John did not die of natural causes. John died by having his body mutilated. Let me tell you that next, Jesus is dealing here with the fact that he tries to withdraw from everybody so that he could begin to go through the grieving process of his friends, but the crowd prevented that. And the demands of life just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Beside that, Jesus is dealing with here once again, the apostles have not met up to expectations. Here they are again, their faith is doubting. Here they are again, they're afraid. Here they are again, they are terrified. Here they are again, their faith is shaken by what's going on. Here were men who just hours earlier, had seen Jesus feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with some bread and some fish. And a few hours, just hours after that, they're terrified he's going to forsake them. Not only that, but Jesus is dealing with the rejection of a crowd that he just blessed. In John's account of this, in John chapter 6 and in John chapter 7, the day before this crowd comes to Jesus, and oh, they love Jesus. Oh, we want Jesus. And then he feeds them, and when they get done eating, they say to him, "Well, we got what we want from you, so we're done with you." Now, stay with me. Here it is. Here is what Jesus is working through. Here is what Jesus is dealing with in the passage that we just read. He is dealing with the death of a friend. He is dealing with the demands of life. It just keeps coming, and it just keeps coming, and he's trying to get away from it, but it just keeps coming. Jesus is here dealing with the disappointment of the closest friends that he has, the 12 apostles. And here is Jesus dealing with the rejection. He's dealing with the rejections of a crowd that he has just blessed and that he has just helped. And now they're saying, okay, we're done here. I want you to understand this now. I want you to understand this. All of this has come upon Jesus in a time span of between 24 and 48 hours. In 2 days, Jesus has been overwhelmed by life. 2 days. 2 days. So here's the question. What did Jesus do to work through all of this? What did he do to get himself through being overwhelmed by what's going on? Now, here's the sermon. The sermon is, what is it that you and I can learn from Jesus here so that when it appears to us that our lives are being overwhelmed, that we too can work ourselves through it? What did he do? What did he do? And what can you and I learn from what he did? And if we do what he did, then we too can get through being overwhelmed by life. Life can eat you bones and all quickly. Are you listening? If you have ever lost someone you love, this sermon is for you. If the demands of life have ever overwhelmed you, this sermon is for you. If you have ever been disappointed by the closest friends in your life, this sermon is for you. If you've ever felt the rejection of people who at one time you had helped and blessed, this sermon is for you. We're going to summarize how Jesus got through this in 5 words. 5 words that will explain how Jesus got through being overwhelmed. And in these 5 words, you and I can find the strength when we too are overwhelmed. The first word is the word privacy. Privacy. Look carefully at the first part of verse 13. Matthew 14, the first part of verse 13. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew. Now look at me. When he heard what? When he heard what? Go back to verse 12. And his disciples, his there is John the Baptist's disciples. John's disciples came and they took John's body and they buried it. After they buried John, and they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard this, verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Privacy. Privacy. The first step to overcoming the extreme difficulties in life is privacy. Listen to me. If you are going to handle everything that life hands you, then you must, on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, you must have private time with God. Now, are you irritated constantly? Are you aggravated all the time? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Listen, what you need is God time. You need God time. I mean, you and God and nobody else is invited. I mean, turn your phone off and you and God and nobody else is invited. Listen, the world will not stop revolving if you turn your phone off. Now watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Watch it. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Now listen carefully. These words were written by a man who had an inner peace. These words were written by a man who had an emotional calm. These words were written by a man who had a spiritual contentment that can only come from those who understand the unfailing promises of God. These words written by Isaiah, these words were not written by a man who has never had trouble in his life. Isaiah is without question one of the most outstanding men in all of Hebrew history. And according to secular history and according to Hebrew history, Isaiah died by being sawn in half. Listen. These aren't the words of somebody who never had a problem. Listen, 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 listen. These are the words of somebody who constantly had a deep reflection of God on his past. Privacy. Privacy. Where you and God get alone and you reflect upon your past. Where you have been, where you have come from. Reflect upon your past and how many times in your past when you thought, well, I'm at the end. Well, this isn't going to happen. How many times can you reflect back on your past and say, well, I was overwhelmed, but bless God, I got over it because God helped me. Privacy is you reflecting on your past with God and with the promises of God. That's what it is. That's what it is. Think back on your life. Well, my life hasn't been very good. You got up this morning? You got out of a bed this morning? You put some clothes on this morning? You put something to eat in your mouth? You made your way in here and you came in here? God has been pretty good to you today. Privacy. Privacy. It's me and God. I'm up against the wall. But guess what? I've been up against the wall before. A lot of times. But God pulls me off that wall. Bless God. Woo! Privacy. The second word. The second word is people. You say, but you just said privacy. Yeah. You just said you and God and nobody else. Yeah. You just said forget everybody else. Yeah. And let me say this. I am so proud of how you have listened to this sermon this morning. People. Jesus had this perfect balance between privacy and people. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Listen, this is now Jesus among the people. Here is Jesus helping the people. Here is Jesus healing the people. Here is Jesus feeding the people. Here is Jesus giving the people hope. Brethren, listen, 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 listen. As Jesus worked his way through his own difficulty, he did it by helping others. He did it by helping others. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Who receives mercy? Those who extend mercy to others. Look. Life is a boomerang. It's a boomerang. Whatever you throw out is coming back. If you throw out kindness, kindness gonna come back. You throw out compassion, compassion is gonna come back. If you throw out what my dad used to call contrariness, contrariness is going to come back. If you throw out hate, hate is going to come back. Here's a life lesson. Here's a life lesson. If you dig a hole to put somebody else's trouble in, you'll find that's a good place to put your own trouble in. One of the benefits of helping others is that we help ourselves. Listen, you want to be, look, help the other guy get to where he needs to be, and you'll be as thrilled about that as he is. People, people, you want to feel better when you're overwhelmed? Get your mind off yourself. It's hard. Then do something hard. Get your mind off yourself. Help somebody. It'll make you feel better. Privacy. Me and God. you can't come. People, everybody can come. Number three, the third word that got Jesus through this and can get you and I through this, the third word is prayer. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. And after he, Jesus, had dismissed the crowd, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. There's privacy, there's people, and there's prayer. There's prayer. Now, let me tell you something about prayer. I'm going to be honest as I can be right here. I do not, and I'm not foolish enough to think this, I do not understand all the nuances about prayer and how God can answer my prayer and his prayer and his prayer and your prayer and everybody. Listen, I don't understand that. But here's what I understand. What I understand is that God answers prayer. Now, I believe that for two reasons. I believe it, first of all, because the Bible teaches that. James 5 and verse 16, the prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. I believe that God answers prayer because the Bible teaches it. But the second reason I believe God answers prayer is because I've had it done in my own life. Say, well, explain all that. I can't explain all that. That's way above my pay scale. God answers prayer. Let me illustrate. There was an 18-year-old girl in Georgia named Makisha Curry. Makisha Curry. And her dream all of her life growing up was she was going to go to college. She was going to be the only one in her family who had ever gone to college, but she was going to go to college. So she saved and scrimped and saved and saved. And about the time it came to go to college, there was a family emergency, and she had to take every nickel of that college money and spend it on that emergency. So now Makisha Curry isn't going to college. This girl took a little strip of paper, just a little strip of paper, and she wrote her name on it, Makisha Curry. And that's the only thing that was on this strip of paper. She put that strip of paper in a balloon. She filled that balloon with helium and let it go up into the sky and basically said, God, I'm still down here. 2 days later, in a construction site, a man named Jerome Jones found that balloon in the construction site where he was working as a construction worker. And when he found it, he opened, and it's just Makisha Curry. But Jerome Jones said to himself, this has happened for a reason. I have found this for a reason. I'm supposed to find out who this is. He didn't know if that balloon had come two blocks or two cities, but he just knew, listen, I found it. Here it is. I got to find out what this is. So Jerome Jones found Makisha Curry. Yeah, he did. And Jerome Jones helped Makisha Curry to enroll and to get herself in college. Listen. You say, how does the providence of God, how does it work? I have no idea. All I know is that God answers prayer. My job isn't to figure out how God does his job. My job is to do what my job is and pray. Stop worrying about how God figures everything out. Just do what you're supposed to do with it. Privacy, you and God, and you're not praying there, you're just reflecting on your life. Look where you've been and look where you are. Amen. Then people, get out amongst the people. Get out amongst the people. And then there's prayer. Let me tell you something about providence of God. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Maybe when you're overwhelmed, you're supposed to find somebody else who's overwhelmed and pray with them. Hey, if your life has been overwhelmed, if you're lower than a snake's belly right now, listen, you got a story to tell. You got a story to tell. And everybody that you find who's like you, Lord, a snake's belly, listen, tell them the story. This is where I've been. This is what happened to me. But God has helped me. Number four is the word praise. Look down to verse 33. Listen. Jesus has walked out there on the water. The disciples, God bless them, scared to death. And Jesus says, it's not a ghost. They actually thought a ghost had come out there to get them. Jesus said, it is me. And then to Peter, well, if it's you, I want to come out there. Jesus said, come on out here. And the Bible said that Peter walked on the water. The Bible says Peter walked on the water. Now, everybody wants to criticize Peter because he ended up sinking. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody else got out of the boat that night. All the criticizers stayed in the boat. Oh, look at him. I knew he. Whoa. But I knew he wasn't. Right? You criticizing somebody for something you can't step out. So Peter walks on the water, but when Peter stood on the water, then Peter did what we do. He took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on the problem. He took his eyes off the Lord and he put his eyes on the wind and the rain. Listen. Don't worry about the storm. You keep your focus on the Lord of the storm. Now look at verse 33. That's where I was going, verse 33. I just had a little spell then, but I'm okay. Verse 33. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. Jesus got in the boat with him and the wind ceased, and it says they worshiped him. The word worship in verse 33 can also be translated praise. Yes. Listen to me. Listen. They praised him. That's what Jesus needed. Listen, sometimes what we need more than we need anything else is a word of encouragement. So when you're down and out, find somebody you can encourage. Find somebody you can encourage. Listen, Do you know encouragement can change a person's day? And it don't cost nothing. Just walk up and say something. And I'll be walking up saying, well, yeah, I went through that, but I thought I was going to die. Nobody wants to hear that. Just, nobody wants to hear that racket. Encourage them. Encourage them. Praise. We need encouragement. Word number five. Word number five. How Jesus worked through this. Precepts. What do I mean? Look at chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Chapter 15, verse 2 and verse 3. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? Jesus answered them, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? Jesus had a focus in his life. Jesus had a focus. And that focus was the Word of God. That was the center of his life. Listen, when you find yourself on your hands and knees, crawling through the valley of life, you plant yourself in this book and in its promises, and you stay there. Amen. Amen. Stay there. Two days, and he's overwhelmed. They come and tell him that John is dead. Jesus loved John. John was his dear friend. He was his forerunner. Jesus wants to get by himself to grieve John, but the demands of life wouldn't let him. They just kept coming, and they just kept coming, and they just kept coming. Then the closest friends he has on earth, they're frustrating him again. Oh, we're afraid. Oh, what's going to happen to us? Look what he's dealing with. A crowd that he has helped, a crowd that he has blessed, and now they just dismiss him out of hand. We're done with you. So what did he do? What did he do? He got alone. He got alone. You need to get alone with God. And you don't need to beg. You need to get alone and reflect. Where have you been in your life? You've been there before. The God who has brought you safe this far will continue to take you on. Then there's people. Get out amongst the people. People irritate me. People irritate everybody. But get, amen. But get out among the people. Find out what's going on in the world. The best thing a lot of us can do when life kicks us is go help somebody. Do it. Do it. And then pray. Pray. God answers prayer. And bless God, sometimes he'll use a balloon and a construction worker to do it. And then encouragement. Encouragement. And then finally, the promises of God. In case you have forgotten, in case life has caused you to forget, God loves you. And God is on your side. And the promises of God are true. So pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. Gather yourself together. And say, bless God, I'm a child of God. Amen. Just tell them. Just tell them. Especially tell people you don't like that. Because you start talking about God and that room will empty out. And that's how you get your privacy. Are we good? Gather yourselves up. Gather yourselves up. Listen, if you need to obey the gospel, listen to me. If you've allowed what you're going through to take you away from God, don't walk out and think it's fine. You come to God. Do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.